And powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, open the word of truth to 1 John 5, verse 9. 1 John 5, 9. God the Father desires, solicits those that worship Him to worship in spirit and in truth. We are here to worship God in spirit and in truth. And all that we do in this assembly is devoted to that end. From the support of the communication of the Word of God, to the singing of praise to God, to the intake of Bible doctrine. Your place in this as a believer and your privilege is to be here and to be filled with the Spirit. To be guided by the Spirit, to stay in fellowship and not let your sin nature upset the apple cart. You are here to learn Bible doctrine, and that is your objective before God. You are not to involve yourself with your sin nature. You are to focus on the information that is now before us. Well, that's half of the cycle. The other half of the cycle is when you walk out these doors, you take the truth with you and you live it before others, or you are merely at best a hearer of the Word of God and not a doer. So that's the full cycle as we continue forward in these momentous and traumatic times. We said it was going to be this way. We are not surprised that as we zero in on the end, things are going to get very dicey. But God is still the same God for you, with you. You just hang in there and thank God that you're not out here in this mess without the truth. Without rebound, without the truth, without prayer. And God will take care of everything for us as He always has. We just have to adjust and acclimate to the circumstances at hand. So let's take the usual time to pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, never as before are we grateful that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And we thank You, based on what we've studied here and elsewhere, that our faith in Jesus Christ has overcome the world and guarantees us a perfect future in phase 3, which we obviously are yearning for, the upward call of Christ. So bless this time together, this information, to that end, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, following the section dealing with the heresy that John had to combat in his day, and that strange passage that would be probably unintelligible without the historical background to the blood and the water reference. Because all these attacks that are in the world include especially an attack on who and what Jesus Christ is. And, obviously, by extension, the Bible, which is the mind of Christ that God has given us so we can understand who He is, how He thinks, and how He operates. So we can get on the right side of that and begin to progress forward spiritually in time. But if we're caught up in false doctrine, if we're caught up in constantly pandering to our sin nature, that messes things up for you as a believer. Not your ultimate standing before God, but your temporal standing. All right. The witness of God, verses 9 through 12. If we receive the testimony of men, the word testimony, we have an if clause, of course. In this case, it's a first class condition. If and we do. If we receive, keep on receiving, as action ongoing, present indicative of lambano, to receive or accept. The testimony, martyria, the witness, we get from which we derive the word martyr, someone who lays down their life for a cause, and therefore is a witness. That's a witness. It's a testimony that that individual isn't willing to deny his or her faith and is willing to die if necessary. So martyria is a witness, any kind of a witness on a witness stand, somebody telling you about something, something you're reading. It's a witness. Now there's false witnesses, obviously, all over the place. And there is the true witness, the person who is bearing witness to facts. If we receive the testimony, definite article, this definite article with the noun anthropos, man, in the plural. If we receive the testimony of men, and we do, we couldn't survive if people weren't telling us accurate information about certain things. Now, obviously, we get bad information all over the place, but we also get good information. And there are people who bear witness to a variety of things that are helpful to us. And he says, if we receive the testimony of men, if we're willing to listen to men about things, presuming here that this testimony is valid, and we do, the testimony of God is greater. Same word. The testimony of God is greater. Again, martyria. Greater is a comparative adjective. My zone, greater. Keeps on being greater. God bears witness. He bears witness to his plan. This witness obviously comes to us personally through the Holy Spirit with regard to truth. But God is constantly bearing witness to his plan. Ultimately, it works back to his word, where the Holy Spirit's witness matches the word of God. It may come to us through an individual who is witnessing doctrine to us. That's a witness. But ultimately, it's the witness of God if they're giving you accurate information. If they're giving you true and accurate information, it is a witness. On a host of topics, obviously starting with the doctrine of salvation, the most important issue that confronts the human race, as well as a host of other doctrines. It's a witness. The witness of God is greater because it is perfect. It does not have to be modified. Humans, even if they're trying, can dispense wrong information. They lack a certain detail or information regarding a topic, and it needs to be corrected. But the witness of God is greater. And this starts with his testimony. For the testimony, they've translated here testimony. That's fine, either way. For the testimony, or the witness. For the testimony of God is this. This is the starting point. The testimony of God is this. Keeps on being this. It's an adjective. Here, the feminine form. Aute, this. Because testimony is a feminine noun. For the testimony of God is, keeps on being, this. That he has testified. Obviously, this word gets a lot of action here in these verses. That he has testified Perfect active indicative, third singular of the verb, martyreo, bear witness, bear testimony. For the testimony of God is this, that he has testified, borne witness. Concerning is the preposition peri, concerning, definite article, huios, with the pronoun his son. Now, this is the primary witness in the human race, the most important package of information that can come before any individual, bar none. This is at the top of the list of things of importance. This witness regarding his son, the person and work of Jesus Christ. This stands at the top. No one would argue with this. It has any kind of doctrinal bearings at all, that the most important thing that is dispensed and put before a human being is this witness. Because this witness is the only way out of the predicament that we are all physically born and introduced into this world. We are born under a curse and indictment, under condemnation, whatever word, that's what we're born into. Regardless of who we are, where we are born into, what is our status in society, that's completely irrelevant. This is the number one testimony before humanity. This witness. And it involves, it is concerning his son. And that's all the details that are necessary to get that information in front of a person so at the basic level, they can, if they opt to, get saved. They can get out from underneath what Adam put us under. Obviously, Satan was behind it all. Now, that's the scariest thing for the human race. That should be the most frightening thing. And it's so easy to get out from under this one on the part of the individual. Because God has provided a salvation package that is free of charge. It's the greatest gift considering the circumstances, both on the negative side, what you get out of, and on the positive side, what you step into. It is the gift of God. It is free. But like any gift, you have to receive it. You could turn it down. People all over the place turn it down. But it is a gift. It is a gift of God's grace and God's love towards the human race. Hopefully everybody in this room has received that gift. All you have to do is, as coming up here, the one who believes, belief, the one... We can get a witness and reject it. We can reject good information. This is information that is propagated through God's agents. Ultimately, as I said, it's the Holy Spirit. If you're witnessing to someone, you're formulating your words. Let's say you're in fellowship. You're in any case, you're giving out correct information to the individual about salvation. You're a witness. But ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit that is working through you, in you, to present to that individual the way of salvation. Even if the person's out of fellowship, they're saying the right thing, it's a true witness. They are bearing witness. The one who believes. Present active participle of the verb pistuo in the Son. We have a preposition. It's kind of directional. It's ice. It can mean into, in, the Son. Definite article, huios, of God. Has this testimony in himself. Has this witness in himself. The one who believes automatically has this witness in himself. He's now a witness. He has this info in him. You know, it's like someone gave you some very valuable information. about something. It might relate to your health. It might relate to any number of things in life. That information that you come across is now in you, and you've seen for yourself that it, quote, works, that it's real. You've got it now, and you can share it with someone else. You can give them information to help them out. And that's what we do here at Maranatha, hopefully. We learn, then we are a witness, in this case, to the gospel, to the way of salvation. But all these other doctrines, we have this information, and we have the information. We have it stored within us. We walk around with us in it. Opportunity presents itself, can share it with somebody else. Provided all the circumstances are right, God put someone in front of you, you're led of God, and you present them with the information. You can take it or leave it, but that's the information. Here it is. The one who believes in the Son of God, and in this case, he doesn't say has eternal life. He said that over and over. No, he who has the Son has. You come into possession of something. The one who believes, that's the participle pistuo, in the Son, has, keeps on having, present active indicative, third singular, this witness, martyria, with the article, in himself. Reflexive pronoun, heautou. The one who does not believe God. This is the person that rejects the witness. The one who does not believe, he drops the word the witness, he says, who does not believe God, what God has bore witness to. We have the one not believing, present participle of pistuo with a negative me. Who does not believe God made him a liar. A liar he has made perfect active indicative of the verb to do something, make something, poel. Sorry about that. And then it sounds a little redundant. It comes back to the whole theme here in these verses. Because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given regarding his Son. Because he has not believed, perfect indicative, pistuo, in the testimony that he has given. The word given, if you translate it literally, he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne witness to concerning his Son, because it's the verb in the perfect martyreo, concerning his Son. See, it just keeps coming. This is all wrapped up in this package here. While it may seem a little redundant, he's trying to make some points out here with regard to the great division and separation between the human race. Those who believe have the witness. They're bearers of the witness. When you got saved, you are now a bearer of a witness. And your ability to articulate it obviously grows as you grow spiritually. But you understand that salvation is through Christ. Through Christ only. You're able to articulate that to people where you have opportunity. Are you a Christian? Yes. Well, what'd you do to become a Christian? That's what I try to do when they call in on the phone. Because everybody wants, when they call up here, they want something or whatever. They're going to say, no, I'm not a Christian. Calling a church, I'm not a Christian. But I'm not here trying to be mean to them. I'm trying to help them. So they could have some assurance, because I know a lot of people don't have a lot of assurance. And when they try to articulate the fact, they're fuzzy on it. What did you do to become a Christian? So if they say something erroneous, I can correct it and point out, you only have to do one thing. See, that's the shocker. Not to us. But that's the shocker. Even fundies kind of backpedal on it sometimes. What do I have to do to be saved? Just tell me. Give me. And when they start adding stuff to this, that's where you go. But that's what I was subjected to as an early Christian. This nonsense of you have to repent of all your sins. You have to, whatever, turn over a new lifestyle, blah, blah, blah. No, all you have to do is believe in Christ. We'll work on the rest of this later. But this isn't a part of the salvation adjustment mechanics. It just is not. Yes, you can advise people, yeah, it'd be a good idea to turn away from all that, that particular type of, in certain instances, of evil, but you can't even tell them to quit sinning, because that's nonsense. You tell them to believe in Christ. That is the button you hit, and you've got salvation. But that's up to you to do the believing of the witness. Do you believe these particulars about Jesus Christ died for our sins, and all the rest of it you can package in there to give the gospel to them? Do you believe that? Have you believed in Christ in time? If your answer is affirmative, then you have the witness in yourself. And unless you are out of God's will, intimidated, you will bear witness to that, to men. Oh, that person will never accept. That person will, whatever. No. If you have opportunity, give them the gospel. Within any context, some subject may come up. Threats to humanity. This is the big threat. It's always been there. Not a virus. Not all the kind of things that come down in human history. The big threat. Remaining in a state of unbelief. Because he has not believed in the testimony that God has concerning his Son. And the witness or the testimony is this. I know probably you're sitting out here, this is so basic. I know, it's real basic. But it's always good to think about it again. You received in time, I did, a witness. Somebody, however clear they were, they got around to that Christ is the Savior and you need to believe in Him for salvation. They may mess with it with head and heart belief and all that nonsense. Billy Graham did that. Did you have just a head belief? See, that muddies the waters. If you tell me something and I believe you at your word, and I follow up on it and check it out, and sure enough, you're right. I received your witness. I received your testimony. I could tell someone else about it, that it's right and it's useful. And the testimony and the witness is this, that God has given us. Aorist active indicative, the verb to give us. Eternal life. Life eternal, that's the word order in the Greek. Life, zoe, followed by the adjective, aionios. Life eternal. And this life is in His Son. That's the person. You don't believe in the Holy Spirit, you don't believe in the Father, you believe in God the Son. That's the object of faith. And this is in preposition, base E-N, in His Son. Keeps on being in His Son. And we'll sum it all up with verse 12. He who has the Son has the life. How do you have the Son? You receive Him by faith. That's how you have Him. So you could say, I've got Jesus. I've got the Son. He who has the Son has life. The one having, echo, to have something. The Son. Definite article. Huios. Has. He who has the Son has the life. You gotta do the opposite side of it too. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. I mean, that's pretty simple. That's pretty straightforward. That's the great divider of the human race. So the question this morning is, do you have the Son? If you do, you have eternal life. If you do, you have the ability to bear witness to this. Now, if you're ashamed because you're afraid someone's going to ridicule you, then that's another problem. Well, I just don't know if I could say, you don't have to be anything. Just put the information in front of people. Whether you're witnessing to, you know, a young child, your child, because you care about them and you want them to be saved too. So you query them about it, as I did for my own satisfaction, my grandson, when you have our time together, getting our haircuts. I did that earlier. And it came back that he had the Son. He had the testimony. I was just trying to make it clear, because there is also this factor. As you develop spiritually, you get confidence regarding all the doctrine that you and I learn. You get confidence. That confidence grows as you're further exposed to it. One, in verse 9a, John offers the observation that we regularly receive the witness of men regarding events and various things. Now, obviously, there's a lot of bad information in the world, and there's good information. You and I know that. We have to process it, pray about it, think about it, maybe follow up and do our own research to verify it or to see it as being wrong. But in the human race, we receive the witness of men. I'd like to know how to get from here to so-and-so. Oh, here's the route you take, blah, blah, blah. We receive the witness of men on a whole variety of topics. We depend on one another. And as a result of that, that's how we make our way through life. Yes, we can get bad info, obviously. Of course, if you're a believer, you're in fellowship, you're trying to do things right, you'll tend to minimize that. Well, that was bogus information. It's like all this, and I've told you, warned you, all that stuff you're hearing in the news, take it with a grain of salt. How do you know that? People formulate an opinion. If you want to do in-depth research, if it's worth it, fine. But people still look to people for a witness. They're supposedly on the news bearing witness to things. Some of it's true. Some of it's not that important. Some of it is a lie. Some of it is disinformation. We know that. We know the world we live in. But still, we receive the witness of men on things. There are people out here that know stuff about stuff and will tell you and help you out. If we receive the witness of men, and we do, first class conditions, sets the stage for the witness of God. Follow up. God bears witness to his plan. Obviously he does. He disseminates his plan. It's out there. God bears witness to himself through his creation. Psalm 19. First half of it. Second half of it, he bears witness through his word. The Old Testament would be called the law. So God bears witness. And God cannot lie. He can't be mistaken. You can be honestly mistaken about something. We all have. Then we get it right. So the witness of God is superior to the witness of men, since its source is divine perfection. Couple attributes. God knows everything. There's nothing hidden from him. He doesn't find out stuff. He doesn't research stuff and figure it out. He already knew it. So he's all-knowing and veracity. I could throw in immutability. He can't change. God doesn't lie about anything. He doesn't make any mistakes. Oops. We do. And have to correct things. The witness of God regarding the way of salvation came to us via men through whom the Holy Spirit bore witness. And that witness, some people, they got the witness through Jesus personally. But still the same witness. It still is valid. John 5, what I got here? 36. But the testimony which I have is greater. And this is in a context where Jesus is talking about John the Baptist. But the testimony which I receive does not have its source in men, but I say these things so that you may be saved. John, he was a lamp that was burning and was shining. And you were really to rejoice for a while in his light. Because he was an honorable and correct communicator. But the testimony which I give is greater than the testimony of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, testify about me. Jesus' miracles, his works, they testify. They were evidence, strong, powerful evidence. John didn't do any miracles, but Christ did miracles that the Father has sent me. It's evidence. Who does miracles like that? Who backs it up with these phenomenal miracles with regard to all the signs that Jesus gave regarding his person? John's point is that if we are accustomed to receiving the witness of humans on a wide range of topics, we ought not to reject the witness of God. That is flat stupid. God has borne witness to his plan. He's borne witness, as I said, to the fact that he exists. That he is a supreme being. The creation is a witness. This witness is regularly rejected in our world. The creation. How did all this get here in all this sophisticated form? How did it all develop? So some awful theory comes along and people sign off on it because they rejected the witness of God. The creation is a silent witness that God exists. It's out there 24/7. It's in everybody's face. And everybody has had some thought about it, but when they turn away from the witness, there is a supreme being. This did not happen by itself. Things like this don't happen by itself. That car you drove up here on the parking lot with today did not happen by itself. Even if you didn't know how it was made, you know that somewhere there's a factory or factories that put this thing together so you could get to Bible class today. It didn't develop by itself. Neither did that fish in your aquarium develop by itself. And all the rest of it, you observe, animate, inanimate, all these objects. And so the big lie is it came as a result of an accident, an explosion. So if there was nothing, how can nothing produce an explosion? But we've got all this science and it's all out there with all these people running around that believe this mess. Otherwise, intelligent, rational human beings sign off on this junk because they are antagonistic to the very thought of God and finding Him and His plan. No, knowing there is a God and accepting that fact will not save you. It is God awareness, God consciousness comes to every normal human being regardless of their culture. Because we are all observers of the natural world. We see the birds, we see the bees, we see the this, we see the that. It begs for a conclusion. Where did it come from? Who could do that? A supreme being. So that is a witness. For those of you who might not be familiar with that, this is the doctrine of God consciousness or God awareness. A child grows up and becomes God conscious, and it can hit him a number of ways. But number one is for me, yeah, I heard people talk about God. Oh, sometimes it was blasphemous, cursing. Yeah. But I became aware of it through my own personal. And you say, well, yours were real limited. Yeah, I know. Then I went to school and they tried to talk me out of the idea that there was a supreme being behind all this. But I couldn't refute it. I didn't have anything to go on. I was just a victim of a system. They didn't even tell me, hey, there's two options here. Here's this theoretical science called evolution. And there is the theological viewpoint that God created all things and brought them into existence by the power that He alone has, bringing things that do not exist into existence. I can't comprehend that. I can't comprehend bringing into existence something that don't have some basic kind of material to work with. But I accept that by faith because for me, that is what makes logical sense. Because the other, apart from the Bible, can't work because it would break down. One organism and one cell needs this, and I've explained that before. It needs the whole thing. Or it's dead on arrival. The whole package has to come into existence. The absolute patent nonsense that our ancestors crawled out of the water and became land breathers. Really? Or whatever version they put out there and get a PhD for. Professor of Evolutionary Science, PhD. Psalm 19. Here's my documentation. Now, the witness of the Word of God. Once you get confidence that the Bible is the Word of God, not just some book a bunch of religious leaders, religious types put together. This is overseen by God, working through human beings, fallible human beings, who might make a mistake, even if they don't want to, but they are protected by God when they were in the verbal plenary inspiration mode. Closest I get to that is being in fellowship and studying and communicating the information. I have the same Holy Spirit. But I could, even in fellowship up here, say something that was technically inaccurate. But it isn't going to throw you into, you know, reversionism and off track. God protects us from that. But these men, moved by the Spirit, when they wrote Scripture and they composed their books, they were protected from error. When someone says, well, I think that, see, you don't want to go down that slippery slope. Well, I think there's some errors in the Bible. Well, where does that stop? I mean, really, where would that stop? These are the things you think are errors. Are you the guy who came along and figured out where the errors are so you can protect us all? No. You may not understand it. You may have it wrong. But there are no errors in Scripture. It's inerrant. Human writings, human things have error in them. Even by people who have integrity, they make mistakes. Honest mistakes, we would say. But they're still mistakes. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. That's the dome. Same word is over in Genesis 1. Day to day pours forth speech. This is not audible speech like you're hearing from me right now. This is not audible speech. This is inaudible. It's a silent witness. And night to night reveals knowledge. Knowledge of what? A supreme being. Man studies nature, figured out how it works, and comes up with a lot of good stuff, obviously. The human cell, the sophistication of it. This is true science. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line of communication has gone out through all the earth. That was what I told you. Every culture, I don't care how backward it is, they got this witness. They can look up and see the same stuff you and I see. And they don't have to go to school to figure this part out. And their earnest is the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun. I told you what that was. That's another repeat on the above cosmology from our previous doctrine. Which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Focus on the sun. It rejoices as a strong man to run its course. The sun moving in its course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens and its circuit to the other end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The dynamics of the sun. Then we shift gears. In the middle of this psalm, roughly, yeah, it's in the middle of the psalm. It's divided into practically right in half. Well, the first six verses, creation, the seven and following, to the law of the Lord, which is the word of God, which was written down by Moses. He wrote down the law, among other things. Is perfect, restoring the soul. Salvation adjustment, rebound adjustment, getting out of reversionism. Following the dictates of Scripture. It restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the stupid. So you come to Maranatha Church, we will take you from stupid to wise. You got to do your part. When I step out of here, I've done my part. It's in your lap. Cast it aside. Or you should embrace it. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Doctrine gives it capacity for happiness. We can rejoice if we focus on it. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, not the material eyes, the eyes of the soul. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, for they are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. And I've had, in my history, in my history as a pastor teacher, people bailing out of here for gold. Not literal gold, necessarily, but money. They wanted money. They wanted to be prosper. They wanted to consume themselves with getting ahead financially in the world and dumping Bible doctrine. We called it monetary reversionism. That was a lot. That was Lot's gig. Oh, he liked Abraham. He did. He didn't hate Abraham in that sense, but money consumed him. And where did it end him up? In a cave, fornicating with his daughters, drunk. But anyway, whatever happens to these people, they have put monetary gain above Bible doctrine. You have a choice. Get ahead in the world, prosper in the cosmos. Some people just jump right at it. No, thank you. I've got too much doctrine to see through that one. You cannot buy me off. I don't care if you're a multi-millionaire. And I won't take money from the cosmos. And I'll be careful of taking it from believers. They'll use it against you. Abraham gave me that example. Now, I don't think I want to take anything from you. They are more desirable than gold, yes, much fine gold. Sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. That's a food item. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there's great reward. This is what we're waiting for. Now, you can get temporal reward. It'll come to you. But we're talking about the afterlife. And you and I mean all of us are going to be absolutely blown away. Look at that. Look at that reward on top of our salvation, on top of having a resurrection body. Look at that. You get that crown status. And all the celebrities, all of them put together that ever existed in human history will pale into insignificance to your glory. You want that? Then start doing what's right down here in time. Line up with the plan of God. Get away from all these people. A lot of you have already done that, so it's redundant. I mean, it's already done. Get away from all these people out here that will just drag you down. Doctrine of separation, that's a commandment. It doesn't mean you're being mean. It just means, bye-bye, I've got a new social group. And they will hate you, and they won't like you, and they'll try to put a guilt trip on you, and all the usual stuff. Be impervious to it. I want to be around those who know and love the truth. Is that too much to ask? I don't hang out with people that are negative. Who've got their own idea of what's fun. The more money they got, the more places they go, the less money they got, they still want to just party and run around like a bunch of jerks. This is, you know, this is pathetic. I don't do that. I was looking at a fishing magazine. Well, it was actually a catalog selling fishing gear, but also it showed all these exotic places to go fishing, fly fishing in particular. I don't want to be around those jerks in their lodges. And I'm not talking Masonic. There are probably a bunch of them or that too, but I don't want to be around these guys. If I had all the money in the world and I can go to Brazil and fish for this exotic bass that's real pretty and a nice lodge with everything and be around these people, no, I don't have no time for them. In the past, I went fishing up in Colorado with Positive Volition. That's fine. We had good fellowship. You're going to talk doctrine with these people. They're all well-to-do cosmos. They got the money and the means to go off and do this and this and this and this. It is so off the wall. They don't want anything to do with God and His plan. But they're enjoying His creation. So in keeping them, there's great reward. Keep that in front of you. Who can discern His errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Now it goes into a prayer. Also keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Oh, I can do that. It's not going to hurt me. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Not only what I say, but what's going through my brain. What I'm focusing on, thinking about as important. Be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's take our break.